I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Driven by our D&M Leasing Studios. You're rolling with the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
Rangers lineup has dropped. We'll tell you that and more as we get into a mixed bag live from the Comerica backyard here at Globe Life Field, getting you set for Rangers and Angels tonight. It is DeGrom night as he will be your starting pitcher for the Rangers, taking on Soriano, two of the American League's best this evening here at the Globe. Wolchuk, Broaddus, Chiafalo. We got Lucius Alexander back in master control. And thank you to Austin Nix for coordinating our video as well. Rocking with you on this Tolo Tuesday, 877-881-1053, always the number to text and join the conversation. It is LSU night, which includes a custom LSU Texas Rangers sleeveless hoodie. Ryan rocking his Josh Smith LSU jersey as we speak. Is Smitty in the lineup? We'll tell you right after this.
You want a chocolate? Mama.
Mama. Leave the gut. Mama. Take the cannoli.
Mama always said life was like a box of chocolates.
How do they get them back?
Just throw it in the bag.
You never know what you're gonna get.
Ooh. All righty. Smitty, is he in the lineup? It's a good question. Tell you who's not. Josh Young. Josh Young not in the lineup tonight for your Texas Rangers.
Was he wearing a knee brace out there throwing it around?
I think that was him that was doing a little long toss as well earlier, and he was not in. He's not in the lineup. Maybe that knee's still bothering him a little bit, which is not great news. But you do have Jock Peterson leading off, Josh Smith playing second, batting second tonight. So Smitty on LSU night will be representing. Jake Berger batting third, playing first. Brandon Nimmo will be leading off, playing right field. Ezekiel Duran at third. Evan Carter at center. Alejandro Osuna in left field. Elias Diaz catching for DeGrom. And then Nicky Lopez will be playing short tonight. So that's your Rangers lineup against the Halos this evening. And looking forward to that. We'll talk with Jared coming up at 5 o'clock.
This is a redemption series, man. I mean, they embarrassed you. Last time they popped up on the sked, it's like, oh, yes, yeah. Thank God. Here we go. It's the Halos. So then they freaking sweep you.
Yeah.
You gotta bounce back, dude.
Yep.
You gotta bounce back with a dominant series.
Redemption
here.
Series. Can I ask you, after the soccer match last night,
what did the mantra end up being?
Oh yeah, what was it?
What would it have been?
Just don't after get, the don't match, embarrass yourself.
Besides, like Michael Irvin belt to ass, kind of. What would?
I was thinking football follies. I was thinking, fiddle fart soccer.
Yeah,
it was very folly.
It was an embarrass your country game.
In fact,
S the bed game.
It was an S the bed
embarrass game. Your country game.
It in was fact, a you don't belong on my screen game.
We
it
had
was a setback soccer game.
The loss to Belgium in the World Cup drew 30 million viewers on Fox. Yeah. Most watched soccer telecast in U.S. history to watch that dumpster fire.
How many people were tuning in to USA Soccer for the first time, maybe in their entire lives,
probably
thinking,
a lot.
Maybe I could get sucked into being a fan of this, and they come away after were, 30 million eyeballs were watching the, it. 60 million eyeballs, assuming everyone had two that was watching.
Yeah.
Okay, and that is an assumption. I don't want to assume how many eyeballs anyone has, not in this climate. But, man, I think they walked away after 60 million, roughly 60 million eyeballs watching. They come away from that game with zero fan who is brand new today.
That's sad. That's sad. I mean, hopefully that's not the case, and they watch the entire World Cup, and it's propels them into a greater chance 4 years from now.
I'm just saying, there's at least a section of those
there
people.
That was the first game
to watch. Like, okay, what's everybody talking about?
Listen, yes, I don't think the fan base is the problem.
I don't think the
overall support. Soccer fans put their money where their hearts are. They really
their hearts got
like every
last night.
World Cup match, and especially in the knockout stage, is like going to a playoff game or going to a Super Bowl for them. I mean, they go from city to city following this thing. You know, what is it? The Outlaws. That group. Yeah. I mean, the problem wasn't the support. The problem is that our players just aren't good enough. And where does that start? Does that start in the development? And I'm sure there's somebody over at FC Dallas right now. It's like, whoa, wait a minute, Brian.
Well, you have
we're trying, but why are we just so deficient in this particular sport?
The difference is overseas, you could be 14 years old and making money playing soccer. Here, if you're 14 years old, your parents are paying thousands of dollars a year for you to play soccer.
Well, we need to identify the best and the brightest and put those kids on scholarship. Like, you automatically, yeah. If you're a... And again, that comes down to evaluation, right?
Or it's how you go
play
overseas, right? Yeah. If you're 14, you can do that here. They just got to send you to Europe or Italy, you know? I mean, South America.
That's all it is, man. That's all it is. You just got to go to a completely different country at 13 years old.
Cape Verde takes Argentina to the mat.
Yeah.
Am I right about that?
Yeah.
Cape Verde's got 500,000 people in this.
Egypt today. With Argentina.
The Pharaohs are now.
Yeah, but I'm guessing every single.
They got Mo Salah. I don't know that anybody else knows who's on their team.
It just seems so disheartening that.
Yeah, it was. It was a kick in the ass. Here was Carly Lloyd, who I loved what she had to say. I mean, the U.S. women's soccer team, they're 7 years ago, they won back to back FIFA World Cups. We got that coming up next year. That'll be on Netflix as the U.S. women try to go win another World Cup. But here was Carly Lloyd with some strong words for Team USA and Christian Pulisic.
No, look, it's a bit of a downer for us being out here now after this loss, but I felt like they lost the game before they even stepped out onto the pitch, and I'm not sure why, and I don't know the reasons, but just from the beginning, just chasing, tentative, scared, just not confident on the ball. And I think big-time players, you wanted some of those big-time players to step up in big moments. And I got to be honest, I was a bit disappointed with Christian Pulisic. I think whether he wants to be the star of this team or not, we didn't see enough from him in this particular game and really the whole World Cup. Little glimpses here and there, but... aside from this loss, I think on the brighter storyline, it's been a fantastic World Cup. This team has united the country. They have, gotten American fans to fall in love with them. And there is a bright future, but this is just a real disappointing loss to go out on.
And she was searching for it. She was going with the hammer, She was going with the hammer, and then all of a sudden
it's a velvet hammer.
It felt like, well, I'm sitting up here and I have to be positive and
Well, yeah, because that's how they feel about it, right? Because it's like, look, we're trying to grow the sport. It does. It's still well behind. The NFL is way more. The NFL, Major League Baseball, hockey. It's behind other sports now. I mean, you're seeing the growth of it, and soccer just kind of like, is it? Like, the MLS, you're right. Like, we have the Portland Timbers are massive, Seattle. I think FC Dallas. If you go to an FC Dallas game, it's sold out. There's a lot of fans.
We had 40-some-odd players from our soccer league playing in the World Cup.
Right.
I mean, that's a positive.
That is. MLS is in a better place
now.
We need
guys that are going over there and playing in big-time matches in Germany and England and – in Spain.
Well, and you can't be skipping out on the Gold Cup, and like Christian Pulisic did. And like, this team needs to play together. They've got to be playing together in the Copa. They've got to be playing together in the Gold Cup. You've got to get some camaraderie and build together and learn how to play together, because they don't always grow up. And hey, maybe, England and some of these others, they have issues with that as well. But clearly, they're way ahead of the game. I mean, Argentina, Brazil. We've got to figure out, look under every single nook and cranny here of how can we get better. We're the United States of America. The whole your best players don't play, I don't care about that. This country has so much talent in it. Despite having the NFL stars and our Major League Baseball stars and NBA stars, don't tell me we can't find some soccer stars as well that are good enough to compete on the world stage. We do it in the most obscure sports in the Olympics. We find guys that are out here kicking ass. Gymnastics, we dominate, right? I mean, hell, hockey, we were not a hockey country. We hadn't won a gold medal since 1980. Finally won the gold medal again. It's possible. That's the beauty of America. We've just got to figure out a way to get there. And we can't keep recycling the same topic. We got to act on it. Because I feel like it's a broken record.
Every 4 years we have this discussion. It's a new former player. And now we've You know, we've got Carly Lord and I, you know, we've got people, ladies involved, and hell, she knows something about winning. She sure. knows something about passion and going out there and, you know, and finishing the job. But man, you go out there and you just, to look like that is just,
ugh.
But they find a way to, I said this earlier, they find a way to beat Belgium, and then you lose that way to Spain. Yeah, you're disappointed, but you're kind of like, yeah, damn,
well,
they beat a top 10 team, you know. They beat, you know, to beat Spain is gonna would take so much. But gosh, dang, it took a lot to even. I mean, just how awful. And I'm not gonna sugarcoat this anyway. You know, 9 times out of 10, it looks like that Belgium would have beat you anyway.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Man, they
if
great.
U.S. is going to play like that, you know, and
absolutely
the lack of, you know, it just it that part of it's tough for me that we it seems like that we've had this same conversation every 4 years.
Yeah, they just
why
if they qualify, they can get out of their group and then lose in the round of 16. I guess they were able to get that round of 32 win. College sports, we found out the Big 12 and Monster Energy have entered a multi-year sponsorship deal, so the Big 12 will be branded Monster Energy Big 12 football, and there will be Monster logos on conference fields, courts, and jerseys. Do we like this?
Hey, man, you got to get your bag some way,
hell
somehow.
Yeah, it's all about the money. And I guess, hey, I mean, look, we just talked about that with the soccer. The money that it takes. And you have all these, you know, private coaches that want the money for it.
They've got to figure out a way to pay the players.
Yeah, they've
got to figure
time.
Out a way to pay both the men and women's sports. And so if we have to sell out and we're the pork rind, whatever, you know, we got to do it. Because we, you know, these universities have got to come up with ways to make sure that their athletic programs have the money in order to get the best athletes. You know, I'm not even going to say students anymore. You know, it's not a student athlete thing, because you know it is about. And I always wondered how these guys and gals bounce around all these schools and stay eligible. How do you?
That's another thing.
You know,
it used to be you got to sit out
hours
to transfer,
to, you know, transfer and stuff like that, but. I guess not.
Basket weaving, man.
Joey McGuire said, if you're a Texan and you're a fan of football in this state, then why would you go outside of the state to play non-conference games?
I agree.
Because you have such good football in this state.
I agree.
He'd love to play Texas, Texas A&M, SMU, because I think it's great for the state of Texas.
I agree.
I'm
100%.
With him. Hell yeah, Joey.
But I think he needs to give, like, maybe he needs to give the Tarletons and some other teams, you know, the opportunity. You know what I'm saying? Maybe if you want to, you know, the... We've learned a lot about Texas State, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, Texas State, all of a sudden, what they got into the, I think we're into the Pac-12 now, something like that. I think they got put into the, you know. So yeah, it's I think I'm right about that.
That's
but, yeah. Some of these programs, you know, they grow.
They could use the love.
They could use the love, but I'm all for it. If he's talking about playing, you know, Texas A&M and Texas and everybody else. My dad and I were watching a show the other day about the old Southwest Conference.
Yeah.
And dad had a big smile on his face because it was the whole thing about cheating in the Southwest Conference. And my dad, it's like it all kind of came back to him as he's watching the program.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did this. Yeah,
yes.
Okay, yeah, I remember this, yeah.
Well, CBS Sports, as we close down the mixed bag here, built an ultimate college football roster with the best position groups in the land. Quarterback, they're going with Oregon because they got Dante Moore, but now they also have Dylan Raiola as their backup. Running backs, they go with Ole Miss. If Ahmad Hardy were fully healthy and cleared, Missouri would get that nod. But with Quan Lacy, he's gonna end up being the best bet there. And then they added Mekhi Frazier from Michigan State, who was the leading rusher there. Wide receiver, they go with Indiana. I mean, you got Charlie Becker and Nick Marsh right now, who are projected to be first-round picks in the upcoming NFL draft. Ohio State was also considered. Tight ends, they're going Georgia. Lawson Lucky is going to start for Georgia. What an amazing name. Lawson Lucky is the guy to watch. Offensive tackle, good news for the Horns. It is Texas. Trevor Goosby, maybe the best left tackle in all of the land. And then they added Wake Forest transfer Melvin Ciani, 6'6", 302, all-ACC pick to play their other tackle spot. Interior O-line, it's Ohio State with Luke Montgomery and Carson Hinsman. Edge, no surprise, the Miami Hurricanes. Guys like Marquise Lightfoot and Damon Wilson, who I liked a lot coming out of the draft, the transfer from Mizzou. Defensive tackle, it's Texas Tech. They got another couple of good transfers that moved over there. A.J. Holmes and Mateen Ibaroga. He He's another guy that's going to step up for him. Linebackers, Tennessee. Corners is Notre Dame. Leonard Moore might be the best corner in all of football. Safety, it's Alabama with Bray Hubbard and Keon Sapp as the guys there. So there's building your ultimate college football team as we're getting closer and closer. Oh, we can taste it. Football right around the corner. Eric, should we talk some hoops?
Yeah, bad news for a Texas broadcaster. One rookie is standing out above the rest, plus a little father-son feud next in the nation.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Let's love.
All right, it's time to go around the rim here in the G-Bag Nation, live from the Comerica backyard at Globe Life Field as we celebrate LSU night with our LSU man, Brian Broaddus. And we'll have the pregame show at 6:30. Rangers and Halos. We'll have Jared Sandler at 5 o'clock. But right now, we have ourselves a rim sesh brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one has been hurt in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first. 214-333-3333. As we cut the lights out, we put the kids to bed, and the G-Bag Nation goes all 56 inches around that rim.
Let it ride! Rain dance!
Rain dance!
I gotta join here, man. I've been saving for a special occasion.
Always a special occasion when the Mavericks welcome in a 6'7", 25-year-old wing out of the EuroLeague, who is an absolute sharpshooter, Walchuk. Tarek Biberovic.
Biberovic.
He was selected in the second round by the Grizzlies in 2023. He was a part of the Santi Aldama trade, and now it looks like the Mavericks have been able to agree to a deal with him. 2 years, $6 million with a team option for the second year. So it's kind of a no-brainer contract right there. We know how much Ujiri and Schmitz like the overseas players, but 43% from the three-point line in the EuroLeague. And at 6'7", he's got that positional size that we know Ujiri and May, they all appreciate. So I'm looking forward to seeing this guy a little bit. Got to watch him a little bit more and just kind of see exactly what he's all about.
Some YouTube
but from
scouting
what I understand,
going on here.
Yeah, a little YouTube. Well, that's
it
the only way
exciting.
You can do it.
I mean, for the price they're getting him at,
yeah,
you can give him some sharp shooting from the corner.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
And he's a great free throw shooter, like 95% from the line. Woo-hoo! So if he can play a little defense,
yeah,
you can't help but appreciate a guy who can stroke it from downtown, 6'7", 25 years old. So that is the latest Dallas Maverick. And now there's other things going on in the league right now. We got word that Jalen Brunson having to undergo some surgery on his left wrist.
Oh,
okay, so it's
wow.
Not the shooting hand, but it is, it is the left wrist there, and he is, fighting through that.
Yeah,
fighting through that throughout the postseason and onto the championship run. Just adds to the lore of his greatness and his dominance. And you know that New York is going to be doing all the voodoo things like they did during the finals to try and get that thing healed up quickly as possible.
Oh, yeah. I'll have that Danhausen guy out there.
It is his shooting hand because he's a lefty. The shooting hand.
That makes a lot of sense.
Impressive.
Yeah, and he was struggling a little bit. We saw at times in the finals. So it does. I mean, he still won finals MVP. What a freaking badass.
Yeah, so going to need him to have a speedy recovery there. That is super impressive for what he did. When you see what Pulisic did last night,
and then here's Jalen Brunson.
Like, that's the difference of the heart of a champion.
Yeah.
That clearly Jalen Brunson
has. Pulisic doesn't know anything about that.
Now,
loser.
How about the rookie, man? Darren Peterson?
Oh, is he already he's still body cramping?
No. The body cramps are no longer a problem, it seems. And he is talking about how he channels his inner Kobe during the summer league of all
things. He's got a little Mamba in him.
This dude has gone in his last two games here in the summer league for Utah. And he does have the Kobe Bryant tattoo
So he's, you know, he's walking the walk.
Full Kobe and a Laker jersey tat, like Kobe face tat?
It's the Kobe face. I don't know how much Kobe body you have on that thing.
Okay, but
you
got the face.
Afro Kobe there. But it's 28 points, 5 boards, 2 assists, 11 of 21 from the field. Then he, last night, 25 points, 2 boards, 12 assists, and 8 of 15 from the field.
Wow. All right, that's savagery.
12 assists. I don't think he had more than 4 assists in a game when he was at KU.
I think he was just sandbagging it at KU. I think he hated Bill Self.
There was clearly a lot of weird stuff going on, and I don't know if it was an anti-Bill Self thing.
You know who's probably fired up about this? Zero.
Oh.
Biggest Jazz fan we know.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's probably freaking locked and loaded. I mean, my gosh, he was heartbroken when the Mavs just shattered all their hopes and dreams.
Gives you something to be excited about there if you are a Jazz fan. And it'll be interesting when we look back on this draft. And this is going to be a good draft. I think most of the teams that were picking pretty high are going to be decently happy. But if Darren Peterson, if this is signs of things to come for him, then Utah's going to be the biggest winner of the draft when you look back.
No question.
And the way that he's playing now.
He has an excellent chance to be the second best player in this draft class.
Outside of Morris Johnson?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Or was it going to be Sergio De La Rea?
It might be De La Rea.
Yeah, I mean, this dude is. Everybody knew from a talent standpoint, he had the most talent in his body.
A lot of talent in that body, yeah.
They just weren't sure if he was going to access all of that talent. But through 2 games in the summer league, Darren Peterson is meeting all the expectations that people had for him when he was coming out of high school. He's been absolutely in his bag. Now, congratulations to Donovan Mitchell of the Cleveland Cavaliers. He will now be making over $60 million per year on his latest contract extension.
What a mistake.
I mean, dude, that
goodness
is
gracious. I guess maybe Bron's going to go there and play with him, but if you watched him in the finals just shrink when the moments got toughest and he's facing any adversity, Donovan Mitchell's one of the biggest front runners in the NBA.
Well, Brian Windhorst is saying that even though we're not getting the news, he's like, LeBron already knows where he's going.
Okay.
And so I guess he just wants to string it out.
Is he Aaron Rodgering
yes.
this thing?
I mean, the only
Absolutely.
Reason
he loves having his ass kissed.
The only reason why it would make sense to me if he's stretching it out is because he wants to come across like it was a grueling decision for him if he decides not to go back to Cleveland.
Okay.
But
he's coming to Dallas.
If he's going to Cleveland, which all signs point to, that's where he's going to finish things up. And nobody's going to have a problem with that. You want to go back home, close it down with Cleveland? All good, man. All good. But to stretch it out for, if he's going to end up stretching this thing out for weeks and then just to simply go back to Cleveland, it would make more sense to me if he did this waiting period and then he's like, okay, not going back to Cleveland.
If I'm the 76ers, I get him on that golf course at Pine Valley, the most exclusive courses in the country.
Gosh.
And go for it. Hey, LeBron, think we could get you to play at Pine Valley. And
what do you guys think of the teams that are actual options for him? What do you think is the, like, if winning a championship was the most important thing for him right now, what would be the team that you would?
I don't think he's going to the team that gives him the best chance to win a championship.
Well, if he's going to Cleveland, he's probably not going to the team that gives him the best chance.
They were just in the conference finals. Maybe they do have a chance.
They certainly,
so the Mavs.
They do have a chance. Like you.
Well, yeah, and then we traded our best player. They didn't do that.
In terms of winning a title, would it be Cleveland? Would it be Philly? Would it be Golden State? Would it be Denver? Would it be Miami?
Probably. I might lean Miami. I think him and Giannis would be fun together. Mm. Miami does have a foundation of kind of getting diamonds in the
stable
rough,
front
building
office,
some
coach.
Players that you don't know anything about, and they end up being like solid role players. Mm. But I think Philadelphia on paper, I just don't ever believe in the Sixers. I think the Sixers are just destined to have a tremendous failure in some sort of fashion, and Embiid's not going to stay healthy. So, you know, the Sixers make some sense. Denver with Jokic, like, Jokic is probably the best player out of anybody we're talking about right now.
There's no question about
so
that.
So, him in Denver with Jamal Murray, and I believe Aaron Gordon's still there. So, you would have a pretty solid, but it's like you're now going through OKC. You're going through San Antonio. You're going through Dallas.
Yeah. Yeah, having to go through the West is definitely...
That's traveling on the way to Oklahoma City.
I mean, the East has gotten stronger this offseason with the moves that have been made. But yes, the cream of the crop of the league with the Spurs and the Thunder having to get through those teams in the West to try and go and get you another title. Look,
Cleveland is kind of the pull your heartstring story, though.
Right.
Right. Go back, maybe win, get back to a finals, play the Spurs again like you did your first finals appearance, lose in five, and move on.
Well, we mentioned Giannis yesterday. He decided he wanted to be number 7 instead of number 34.
Did he go back to 34?
I heard you guys talking about this. What the hell?
They had already put the jerseys
up. Yeah, that's so
number
rude.
34 jerseys.
That's mean.
So the Heat are saying anybody who bought a jersey
online.
There we go.
Online, I knew this was happen.
It's, okay. It hasn't been made yet.
Okay.
So they can pivot
they can
to the number
it.
7, no problem.
Why is he doing the 7 thing? I don't like this, really.
If somebody went into the store and actually bought a jersey that was number 34, they'll be able to go back and exchange it.
Okay, good.
Number 7.
Good, good, good.
So everything will be okay. There's also another jersey controversy in Miami with Tim Hardaway Jr., former Mav, going to
Dad's
the
Heat. Dad's not letting him wear 10?
His dad, who has his jersey hanging in the rafters in Miami, who was number 10 when he played for the Heat years ago, now his son is going to the Heat, and there was a feud about whether or not he was going to let his son, Tim Hardaway Jr.,
what?
He shares his name
he doesn't
and
his want
DNA,
his kid to wear his number.
Didn't want him to wear number 10. He says, that's my legacy. Not yours.
Well, he's always been talking up THA like he wasn't getting enough playing time.
Right.
He's not getting the ball enough.
Well, I guess the internet bullied him enough and called him a bad dad.
Yeah.
And so now he's acquiesced and he's granting his son permission to wear that jersey number 10. So.
If you're THA, do you even want it
anymore?
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, Dad, you got bullied into letting me have this. Screw you. I'm good. I'll take 34, Giannis.
Now, the other controversy in the NBA right now, I don't know if you guys saw this, but the Spurs play-by-play broadcaster's name is Jacob Toby.
Yeah, he's not very good. When we were playing the highlights, I just not a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah, I don't remember much of his work, but he is the voice of the Spurs.
Yep.
Is he still doing it with Sean Elliott?
I have no
idea.
Who
the hell knows, Brian? I don't know.
It was an important question, though.
I remember that.
He probably is doing it with Sean Elliott. I bet you're right.
The voice
I could
of the
be
Spurs.
Way wrong about that.
Everyone woke up this morning and saw on the Instagram story of Jacob Toby, the voice of the Spurs. It was a photo of him and his girlfriend.
Oops.
And it wrote, "This is my girlfriend of 6 years, but I cheated on her with Lauren Waters," and it's tagged the girl.
Lauren Waters?
Yes. So free to continue following me if you really think I'm a good guy, because I'm not, with a smiley
face. Okay, he must have gotten hacked by Lauren Waters.
No, it was his own girlfriend.
Oh,
it was his own girlfriend who was cheated
damn.
On. He must have fallen asleep. She took his phone. She blasted it out on his own socials. And now everyone is in the know on what Spurs play-by-play man has been all about. But the funny part about this is the girl, Lauren Waters, is actually Lindy Waters' sister. Lindy Waters is a member of the Spurs.
Oh, no.
This is like
a front office rep or like
no,
PR
a guy
person.
A guy on the team who doesn't play.
Lynn?
Lindy.
Yeah. Lindy's a guy.
Yeah, Lindy Waters plays for the Spurs.
I apologize. I didn't know Lindy was like a unisex name.
The player's sister is the one that the play-by-play voice was sleeping around with.
I thought he slept with a dude.
There's something in the water in San Antonio where you have the Tony Parker stuff, remember?
Yes.
With Brent Berry. And now you have the Spurs play-by-play man cheating on his girlfriend with the sister of one of the Spurs players.
Jeez.
And the girlfriend, who is now the ex-girlfriend,
this is messy,
put him
man.
On blast all over social media. It is a wild, wild story.
Goodness gracious.
Sean Elliott is the color analyst for the Spurs.
Okay, boom.
Sometimes I bring it here.
that was really, really impressive.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's your rim sesh here at the G-Bag Nation, live from Globe Life Field. We football max next.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Next in the nation.
Thanks, L.A. We'll talk with Jared Sandler here as we're at the Comerica Backyard getting you set for Rangers and Angels tonight. It is LSU night. That includes a custom LSU Texas Rangers sleeveless hoodie. He has brought us decked out in his LSU gear. And you get a Hawaii shirt on Friday. First 10,000 fans, then Thursday, the Wyatt Langford sliding catch bobblehead. That's going to be badass. But are we football maxing? Football maxing.
Yes, Captain America angered fans on the pitch last night and off of it right after this.
Now there's a new trend called ball maxing.
Everybody has a preference. Some guys like them round, and some guys like them thin. Some guys like them tacky. Some guys like them brand new. Some guys like old balls. I mean, they're all different.
Do you still think the balls are juiced?
Whose balls are juiced?
The balls and everything else was lacking juice last night.
For Team USA. Had our balls juiced last night.
Your Team USA stat of the day. They are 1-6 in the round of 16. All six of the losses, they scored zero or one goal.
Yeah.
They simply cannot score versus the big dogs in the tournament. They don't have the star power.
F&A, Cod. F&A.
They don't have the ability to just put the ball in the net when it actually really starts to matter and the competition gets a little bit stiffer. The guy who's supposed to be the man putting the ball in the net is Christian Pulisic. I don't know if they're going to be calling him Captain America any longer.
Probably not.
But listen to what he had to say after the game last night.
I know you were in a lot of pain, had to be subbed off. What were you dealing with, fighting through?
Yeah, I mean, I just twisted my ankle and just sprained my ankle. I mean, it's just frustrating to end like that, of course. But now I have time to rest, so hopefully it'll be okay.
Now he gets time to rest.
And settle down, everyone.
Why don't you rest some more?
Everything
Christian
is going to be okay.
Pulisic.
That is what
rest
he is
this.
Saying.
I never want to see you on the Team US squad again. Never more. Bye bye.
You want him gone forever?
Curse you, sir. Be gone.
Yeah, that is not the attitude
of a winner.
That
great.
Certainly not of a winner.
And did he not rest enough during the damn tournament? He missed a game. Oh, he played in what? One full game of action, a game of a half, maybe?
Didn't he rest? He didn't play in the Gold Cup?
Didn't play in the Gold Cup because he wanted to be ready to play in the World Cup. And then what happened? He was hurt for the World Cup.
Maybe the argument is that he was too rested. You know, he wasn't calloused up enough to get out there and give everything that he had.
But
there's times you just see him just like moping and walking around on the field last night, not even caring or trying to get into the action.
He was a turnover machine.
Oh yeah.
So was Dest.
And they had 12 of them. Yeah.
I saw Dest off. ESPN FC says Pulisic lost possession 11 times in 45 minutes.
Jeez.
The most of any player on the field.
Yeah. It was bad. It was rough.
That's what he gave
you. Give Belgium
night.
Some credit, though, too.
No, absolutely. Belgium was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, and they had a little extra chip on the shoulder last night for sure. And it was just deer in the headlights.
Maybe that was the worst thing, Pot. Like, we were so pumped. I was pumped to get Flo back in. Maybe it was just it woke the sleeping giant that was Belgium. It just gave them the added fuel they needed to, like, come together and play their best match of the tournament at the right time, when the U.S. played their worst match of the tournament at the wrong time.
Yeah.
It sucked.
And there was a moment late in that game where Flo had a great opportunity with the left foot on like a breakaway and couldn't get it to go.
Yeah. It was an awkward angle.
Berhalter had a one that was pretty dang close. You know, I mean, they had their opportunities to at least tie it at three, but they were never able to get there, and Pulisic was no help. Now, today you had the crazy Argentina comeback with Messi
wild
being an all-timer. Now, he misses a PK at one point in the proceedings.
Yes.
Zlatan apparently said this after the match. Argentina goes on to win. Messi gets some goals and everything's good. Zlatan says this. Hey, everyone misses PKs. I've missed PKs. Thierry's missed PKs. Alexi was never asked to take PK, so he couldn't miss.
That Zlatan Ibrahimovic has been a huge winner. Anybody did not know who Zlatan was, God, she's incredibly entertaining.
Yeah,
he really is.
No, he's been incredible. At one point, he switched roles with the lady host,
and he
became the host.
Oh,
that was some of the best 90 seconds of television I've seen in a while. Like he has been so amazing.
Was he just asking himself questions and answering them?
Yeah. Well, he was stopping down because she started asking questions. He's like, whoa.
Yeah,
I'm the host now.
I will ask
the questions. This is my show. Zlatan
show.
Yeah. He's been totally amazing throughout this entire World Cup. Did I see a sign, or am I getting ball sacked? Where you had a Spanish fan holding up a sign that said, "Show me on TV. My wife thinks I'm with my mistress." Was that a real sign?
I can't say confirm or deny it. That sounds possibly fake, but also very real.
How about the 40-year-old Cape Verde goalkeeper?
Is he a sign somewhere?
Gosh.
We know.
Well,
how much money did he make himself over the last few weeks?
Well,
he has no club. He has no affiliations or anything like that.
Well, just on social media, he grew like a good millions of followers.
Well, but
he's looking for a gig.
He went 40K followers to 27 million followers on Instagram.
27 million?
Okay. And, and now, reportedly, he has been gifted a house, a Rolls Royce worth $500,000. And what does this mean? Lifetime free accommodation by the Cape Verdean government after his heroic performance. Like, lifetime free accommodation. What does that mean? Can he walk into any business anywhere?
He's probably got the ability to, wherever he wants to stay in the country, he can go stay.
He can just pull up to any hotel and flash his accommodation card. And say, I get whatever I want
here.
Keep
the country. Yeah.
Like, no one's had a better come up than this guy. But how do you
give that country credit and give their player? If you look at where those players play internationally, there's like six of the starting 11 that don't even have an affiliation with a team, you know? So hopefully these guys will get recognized and get on some clubs, you know, and then be able to make a living and doing something they were put on this earth to do, and that's play really good football.
And that's if he wants to. I mean, he's 40 years old, and now he's got lifetime accommodations.
Yeah.
He's got the house.
At a Holiday
he's got
Inn?
The car. He can eat and drink.
I stayed at a Holiday Inn.
Oh, look, I'm going to go to the Howard Johnson's and hang out. And
that's the ultimate goal right there. I mean, that was quite phenomenal.
That was quite a deal when they got back home, and everybody's waiting for him at the airport.
Oh, that was so cool.
That was very cool.
Quite the reception there.
Yeah. Now there's
he's the man.
Yeah. We wish the U.S. would have played with that kind of against Belgium. You know, how they
go down with a fight, boys.
Argentina.
Go down with a fight.
Yeah.
All right, let's chat with our buddy, the one and only avid football lover himself, both American and the beautiful game. Jared Sandler coming up next as we get you set for Rangers and Angels. We still have a while. That kind of sounds like I'm teasing pregame is coming up. It's not. We go till 6:30. We'll talk with Sands coming up next in the Nation.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.